WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin in the Middle East, where a ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah began a few hours ago. Big question, will it last? For now, the Lebanese people are hopeful. The BBC's Lena Sinjab is in Beirut.
We already see lines of cars and people heading south of Lebanon and south of Beirut to check on their homes, on their villages, on their towns. People are really excited, but also cautious and worried that this deal would hold on.
Correspondent Charlie Daggett is at the Pentagon.
U.S. officials tells us what comes next is it will be a 10-day period for Israeli troops to start withdrawing from southern Lebanon. That's to be completed within 60 days. Why so long? It's going to take some time for the Lebanese army to fill that void.
The ceasefire marks the first major step toward ending region-wide unrest triggered by Hamas' October 7th attack on Israel. The race is on to get to Thanksgiving dinner. This driver in Boston finds the traffic
painful. Yeah, sitting there in hours, I was blasting music, just trying to calm myself down.
Transportation analytics company INRIX expects the worst of the traffic between 1 and 5 this afternoon. But Mother Nature could get in the way. Meteorologist Craig Allen.
From Wednesday into Thursday, the eastern half of the United States, the weather will be deteriorating with snow in the northern portions, rain, and possibly some severe weather in the southern portions.
The TSA expects today to be the busiest day to fly before Thanksgiving. President-elect Trump's incoming border czar, Tom Homan, made a trip to Texas' southern border where he made a promise.
There is going to be a mass deportation, because we just finished a mass illegal immigration crisis on the border.
Homan and Governor Abbott served meals to National Guard soldiers and public safety troopers. Police in Florida say a 65-year-old golfer was beaten with his own clubs, then drowned in a pond at the first hole at Sandhill Crane Club in Palm Beach Gardens. The suspect, 36-year-old Junior Boucher, has been charged with first-degree murder. Police Chief Dominic Pape.
This appears to be a random act of violence, where Boucher used the victim's golf clubs as weapons and viciously attacked the victim, ultimately killing him.
He says when officers got there, Boucher was running away naked. Harvey Weinstein is threatening to sue a New York jail and a city hospital for medical neglect. His lawyers accuse the institutions of failing to provide proper care for the disgraced movie mogul's leukemia, diabetes, and other issues. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Bucks win in Miami. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a 106-103 victory over the Heat. Just before the game, Giannis had to drop out with a swollen knee. Guard Damian Lillard.
They said he wasn't going to be in the lineup. I needed to come out and be in attack mode and just try to make things happen and just have that energy.
Lillard led with 37 points, 12 assists. The Bucks now 9-9. NFL, it's the Packers and the Dolphins tomorrow night. The forecast for Green Bay, cloudy, windy. What's it like playing quarterback? In the cold, Jordan Love.
In the cold? I don't mind. I mean, it is what it is. You know, being here in Green Bay, it's going to be cold, and you got to go out there and play in whatever the conditions might be. So playing here, we practice in the weather every day, in the cold, especially a team coming from Miami. You know, I'll take that any day.
It was sunny and 81 in Miami, so how do you get a team ready for 25 degrees at Lambeau?
I was just going to carry ice cubes in my pockets and throw them at players all week.
That's the Dolphins head coach, Mike McDaniel. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Well, Glickin' Weekend's box office haul turned out to be no match for that of Barbenheimer's, but it was still impressive and helped the holiday box office get off to a great start. As expected, Wicked landed in the top spot with a take of $114 million, more than doubling Gladiator 2's haul of $56 million at the gate. Gladiator 2, directed by Ridley Scott and starring Paul Mescal, Connie Nielsen, Denzel Washington, and Pedro Pascal, was never expected to be the top dog, as it was always Oppenheimer to Wicked's Barbie. Wicked slightly exceeded expectations expectations with its box office haul, whereas Gladiator 2 came in just under its expectations. This is becoming a trend in Hollywood where two films coming out at the same time were not necessarily competing against each other, but help each other create a social media phenomenon. Landing in third place in week two of its release was Red One with $13 million. Rounding out the top five were Bonhoeffer, Pastor Spy Assassin, and the resilient Venom, The Last Dance, which came in fifth place with $4 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Partly to mostly cloudy today. We'll get to 31 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the north at 5. Tonight down to 20. Thanksgiving Day, mostly cloudy. Some flurries with a high of 28 on Friday and Saturday. Partly to mostly cloudy with highs in the upper teens to low 20s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 15.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, John and Gordy from the John and Gordy Show. It's usually 6 a.m. in Madison. Fill it in for Dom. I'm certain Thanksgiving a little early. James Santel and Dr. Tim Slucker will be guests. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who travels so he can pretend he's on the lam, Pete Schwabe.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, broadcasting statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay at City Deck Landing. Great to have you with me on this this Tuesday edition of Nightlight right before the big holiday. Hope you guys are having a terrific night. I'm excited to welcome this next guest. He has been with us once before, and you know him through his work with the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, or TSO, as it's more commonly known. It is my pleasure to welcome back to Nightlight guitarist Al Petrelli. Al, how are you?
Yeah, good to hear your voice, my friend. How you been?
You too, buddy. How's the tour going?
Pretty awesome, I got to tell you.
Yeah?
I was kind of excited before rehearsal started because I had heard about all the special effects our department heads come up with and all the rescoring that I had done with the music, and I wanted to see how they kind of fused together. And my brother, it is absolutely breathtaking. I'm so happy with everything so far.
You know, we saw a teaser of the show, a video that you guys sent out, and it is an absolute spectacle with the lights and just how intense your music is. I mean, do you ever get sick of doing that? It seems like you can't not be inspired every time you guys go on stage.
No, I love every second of it. You know, house lights go down, curtain comes up, I got a Les Paul around my neck, I turn into a 15-year-old. You know?
That's great.
I mean, straight up, I have been dreaming about this since I was a kid, and the fact that we're doing it, this is going to be 30 years this coming February.
Wow.
Since I helped Paul O'Neill start this thing. And every show, whether it's once a day, twice a day, doesn't matter. It's just the most exciting, fun thing ever.
All right, so tell us about, this is the Lost Christmas Eve tour, mm-hmm. and this is a 20th anniversary tour from your 2004 tour. What can people expect? Like, if they, I assume you do all the favorites, but what inspired you guys to want to redo this?
You know, it's a great story, and I don't really have a good reason why we haven't done it in its entirety in several years, but we got off the road last year. I got home, I don't know, New Year's Eve day, say, right?
Yeah.
And a couple weeks later, we started having our conferences and our meetings, and said, okay, what can we do that's really special next year? Because we had a really good run of it in 2023. And I don't know who came up with the idea. They said, well, why don't we kick the tires on The Lost Christmas Eve, which was the third installment of Paul O'Neill's Christmas trilogy. And it's got so many great songs on it. So it's like, you know what, let's go back and relook at this. And we all agreed that what a great story it would be to represent to the folks that come back to see us year after year. And, you know, I consider them my repeat offenders. And the thing was is that I didn't even think of it at the time. I was just thinking about it musically. But the last time we did it live, I think, was in 2012. And technology has advanced so far that our crew is able to do things on this tour that they couldn't even dreamt up 12 years ago. So it really is breathtaking across the board.
So you guys are coming to Milwaukee December 22nd at the Pfizer Forum.
Do you ever, do you guys change your show from city to city, even if it's a small or nuanced, do you ever make adjustments like that, or is it pretty much the same show?
It's pretty much the same show. I'd say solid 95% of it. You know, I mean, we rehearse really hard with the crew to make sure that everything is just like locked up perfectly, but it's a live band, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, every so often, you know, I kind of like, you know, I don't know, I feel like playing a little bit different of a solo, or the drum solo goes a little sideways from what the norm was. So it's live rock and roll, and there's always that immediacy of the moment that is the energy that we feed off of, you know?
Yeah.
So it's never the same exact show twice. You know, I have same songs, same order, but that doesn't make it the same show.
Right.
Otherwise, these people wouldn't come back, you know, show after show after show sometimes. There's always something a little more magical from afternoon to evening or evening to afternoon.
I guess that's what I was getting at, too. Like, you guys do this the same songs like any band does. You must have to change it up a little bit just to keep it more fun for yourselves as performers, or to take it up a notch here and there between each other sometimes on stage.
Absolutely. That's why I went in and I kind of dug deep into the arrangements and the underscoring this year, because I wanted to keep everybody on their toes on stage and in the audience, too. A lot of folks in this audience have seen this story before, but I wanted to keep them back on their heels a little bit. And to be honest with you, the moment is really what takes precedent when you're performing night after night or day after day. You know, when I look out in the audience and I see 14,000 people and fists are in the air and, like, granddaughters are on grandpa's laps and everybody's smiling and having a good time, you know, it doesn't take much, you know.
Right.
That right there is the impetus of me just doing it time after time, year after year.
My guest is Al Petrelli. He is the guitarist for the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. They're coming to Milwaukee December 22nd. Two shows, 3 in the afternoon, 7:30 p.m., at the Pfizer Forum in Milwaukee. Tickets are available at trans-siberian.com. So check that out. How are the shows different from afternoon to evening, Al? Do you get more jazzed for the nighttime show, or how does that work?
No, they're about the same. I mean, listen, again, I react to the energy from the audience. You know, I know that I've done my homework, and I'm just really excited to show them what we put together for them, you know? But again, there's something when the lights go down and I hear that roar from the audience.
Yeah.
It there's nothing quite like that. I mean, you know, going back to, I don't know, I've been doing this my whole life. When I saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan back in 1964 when I was a kid, you know?
Yeah.
And there's something about the excitement of music and the universality that it just presents, and the story and the energy and the vibe. You know, that's why live music or live events are so important. You know, you're not going to get this on a YouTube video or something like that. You have to be in that building just to be part of it.
When you said before, like, the lights and the technology, how has it changed? Like, you just said you've been doing this for 30 years. This is the 20th anniversary of The Lost Christmas Eve. How has the show changed in terms of technology? Did you guys find what you wanted it to be from a techno music standpoint, that marriage? Or did it used to be much more laid back? Or has it always been crazy intense like this?
It's always been pretty crazy and intense. I mean, you got to go back to our first show. 1999, Tower Theater in Philadelphia, right? So, you know, we had the band, we had the narrator, we had the orchestra, we had the singers, we had the whole thing. We had one fog machine in a box truck, you know, and the story was the centerpiece of the show. And, it, you know, everybody in the audience loved the story, and a little bit of fog and some lights, and, you know, it was fantastic. And as technology has advanced, well, now you have the lasers synced up to some of my guitar solos in the work, where you have pyro being choreographed to Beethoven symphonies. You know, every aspect of it, Paul O'Neill wanted to oversee it and make sure that people were just getting a visual and a musical experience. You know, it's like if you're watching a good film, you know, maybe you don't understand everything that goes into cinematic presentations.
Right.
Or you just know that I'm sitting back going, this is the greatest movie I've ever seen in my life. Why? I don't know.
And you don't want to have to explain it. You just want to lose yourself in the moment. Absolutely.
You just want to lose yourself for 2 hours and change that. I can't believe these guys just did that. And it's my job on a musical level to make sure that the audience is going, this band is just crushing it. You know, they may not realize that we rehearsed 30 days, twice a day we ran the show.
Wow.
So every show was a perfect first show. You know, I opened up in, it was a Council Bluffs about a month ago, right? Or 3 weeks ago. Perfect first show. I'm going to come to see you guys. It may be my 60th show, but it's your first show. And it's got to be a perfect first show twice that day. You know, and that's what I want. I want people to walk out going, that was just amazing. It was better than last year.
Well, you guys obviously...
Because the alternative would break my heart.
Yeah, you obviously do that. I mean, you're doing 110 concerts in 66 cities in 48 days. And
yeah,
you've been doing
up,
it...
Scotty.
And you've been doing it for... just this show, it's a 20th anniversary. So the fact that people are still coming back, I think proves that you guys are doing that. You also have a vinyl release of The Lost Christmas. Talk about that a little bit. That's kind of cool.
Listen, I grew up in the age of vinyl. Yeah. You know? I mean, I remember, you know, getting Dark Side of the Moon or Elton John's Yellow Brick Road or whatever album. And, you know, as you put the record on the turntable, I'd open up, you know, the album cover and, like, read the liner notes, look at the artwork. You know, like, he opened up Elton John's Yellow Brick Road. It had all the lyrics and little caricatures of him and the band. It was fantastic stuff. You know, so my barometer now is my two young daughters. Olivia's 13 and Layla's 8. Now, they listen to music on, you know, on the phone or whatever, you know, Alexa, whatever that thing is in the kitchen that talks back to me all day like my wife. But anyway, but now Olivia got into vinyl. She discovered Elvis Presley about a year or two ago.
Nice.
So she's got a stack of Elvis records in her bedroom. And now she's looking at the TSO vinyl because Greg Hildebrandt, rest his soul, just did such a magnificent job with the artwork and the little secret stuff that's in it. It's fun. It's a different experience. And to me, dude, I know I'm old, but it sounds better in the house.
I agree with you. I think that's really cool. And I've just started collecting a few vinyl. I had tons of albums that I threw out like an idiot of several years ago. But
you and me both, right?
Yeah. Okay, so Al, before we let you go, our question tonight is, it's National Jukebox Day. What is one song you would, if you could only play one song the rest of your life on a jukebox, what would it be? But I'm going to turn that around a little bit and say, what is the one song, if you could only play one TSO song the rest of your life, you know, this Christmas Day, Christmas in Sarajevo, whatever, what would it be?
Christmas in Sarajevo.
Yeah, okay. I thought maybe you'd say that. You can't
go
wrong.
Because I remember it's this coming February, it'll be 30 years that I sat down in the chair with Paul. And he explained to me the story behind that song, and I started playing guitar on it, and I watched it come to life. You know, if Paul's its father, I'm its weird uncle, you know? And every time I listen to that song, every time I play that song, there's a sense of, I don't want to use the word nostalgia, but there's just a sense of, man, it's like, some of my children are all grown up. My boys are in their 30s, you know?
Yeah.
And even though they're grown up and they're men and they have jobs and wives and careers and all, they're still my babies. You know, I can't help look at them like that all the time. That's what this thing is to me, you know?
Oh, that's a great answer.
I hit those opening notes, I just get a chill. It's like, wow, 30 years later and people still love this thing. Fantastic.
That's a great answer. All right, so Al Petrelli, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, they're at the Pfizer Forum December 22nd in Milwaukee. Two shows, 3 p.m., 7:30 p.m. Check out tickets at the Trans-Siberian.com. How bad did I butcher that? Check it out, though.
They
never disappoint. The show is an absolute spectacle. You have to see them if you haven't seen them yet. Al, thank you so much. It's always fun to talk to you, buddy.
My brother, listen, happy Thanksgiving. Have a happy holidays. I hope to see you soon. All my best to your family, bro.
You too, man. Safe travels. All right.
All right, thanks.
That's Al Petrelli. He's so much fun to talk to.
I got to tell you, you could have seen that show three or four times in one season. And it'd be different because you focus on different things every time you watch, like, you know, some of the pyro stuff. But to take time to actually watch the musicians on stage, too, it's a different show every time you go.
And they're phenomenal musicians.
Absolutely.
They don't need the lights and all that stuff.
But
I mean,
it's
there,
just right?
It's like a ride at an amusement park almost. It's like you can't believe what you're seeing.
Right.
So always fun to talk to Al. Check it out. I'm going to go see Frank's show, I think, down at the Meyer.
Absolutely.
I got to do that this year. He dared me to come and see it.
Well, I think you should be in one of his shows.
Oh, yeah. Let's make it awkward. Hey, Frank. All right. Coming up next, we got some indie film talk with filmmaker, director, writer Emmett Laverty. He is coming up next to talk about his film Without a Name. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for matinee on air.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The framers of the U.S. Constitution included the Foreign Emoluments Clause because they feared the influence, corruption, and bribery they witnessed in Europe's monarchies. Why should Americans care about it? The Foreign Emoluments Clause in Article 1, Section 9 reads in part, "And no person holding any office of profit or trust under them shall, without the consent of Congress, accept any present emolument, office, or title of any kind whatever from any king, prince, or foreign state." Fordham law professor Zephyr Teachout writes that James Madison mentions corruption 54 times in his Constitutional Convention notes, and that 24 sections of the Constitution were designed to prevent it. Fast forward to 2021, when after 4 years, 20 foreign governments spent an estimated $13.6 million at President Trump's properties, according to the House Ethics Committee and good government groups. Prior to Trump, presidents put businesses and investments into a blind trust, shielding the president from information which could influence decisions not in the best interest of the country. In 2017, Trump turned his assets over to his two sons in a trust document, but continued to receive updates and income and didn't disclose the holding of over 100 trademarks in China and Russia until 2023. We have more on the Foreign Emoluments Clause at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trevi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're never going to get them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You timed that perfectly.
It's almost like I've done this before, right?
That's impressive. Andrew from the 514, Andrew in Maine, says, "Jukebox song forever. I love the way the song builds as it goes. I think of a jukebox song as one I can play when I want and have a quarter to spare. It doesn't have to be playing all the time." Great text, Andrew. Thank you. Carla from Baraboo, that's Aunt Carla, says, "Grandma Krieger is so proud you played her pick on the jukebox. Put another nickel in the..."
Nickelodeon.
No one finishes it. Yeah, oh, Nickelodeon. Yeah. There we go. You're welcome, Carla. That was Todd. You can thank Todd for that. That's great stuff. And yeah, it's a quarter, though. I know. Remind me also never to watch Netflix with Todd Albaugh.
Why? Oh, yeah.
I've been hearing that all week.
Yeah. You've heard the promo?
I'm like, if Todd asked me over to watch Netflix, well, I like Todd. I would go.
I do, too,
saying, but it's funny.
It would be weird if somebody asked you to Netflix and chill, and it's a coworker, you know?
Yes, especially after they heard that promo. You'd be like, oh, okay. Yeah, sure, we could do that. All right, so we're going to turn our attention to independent film now. Last week at the Milwaukee Independent Film Awards, the inaugural, the maiden event in the film festival's history, a film played there called Without a Name, and the director is... Emmett Laverty. He joins us now over the stream with one of his actors from the film, Michael Newby. Gentlemen, welcome to Nightlight. Great to have you.
Good to be here.
I recognize that background, Emmett. I use that myself when I broadcast from home. Either that or we have the same interior designer. Either way, great taste, my friend.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I worked on it.
Maybe you could belt out a piano tune for us in the back if things go south here.
Say it this way.
So, Emmett, let's start with you. This is kind of cool. Tell me about the film Without a Name. You won an award in Milwaukee, and I know you've won other awards as a director, but let's start with Without a Name. Tell us about the film.
It is a thriller. It's about a young man who goes on a fishing trip with his father, and while they're away, the boy gets caught up in a cult in a small town. And among the other terrifying characters that we meet at this small town is the sheriff, played by Michael Newby.
Who just so happens to be here, yeah.
Nice. Yes.
What made you...
It's a
great pick.
Go ahead, Michael, sorry.
So that's a great pick. Thanks.
That's great. That's a great log line. And where did the inspiration come for the film, Emmett? Have you, do you have a small town? Do you find small towns creepy, or are you fascinated by cults? What do you think? What were you thinking?
Well, I co-wrote the show with Larry Maraviglia, and we're actually both originally from Chicago. And of course, both Larry and I were, you know, raised Catholic. And so religion certainly had a tremendous influence over our early years. And we were trying to explore what the effect of religion can be when it's not coupled with a sense of morality, you know, where it's just you can do anything you want and that's okay because we made a deal with God or something. I don't know what's
right.
So that's you know, we just decided to kind of go in that direction and see where it took us.
Sure. It seems like I don't know if you'd call this a horror film or a thriller, but they seem to be more popular in the independent world. I don't know if that's because people feel like it's easier to make money back in that genre or what, but did you set out to do that knowing you were going to make an independent film, trying to tap into resources?
Yeah. Oh yeah. We,
okay.
It was always, I mean, I've made a number of films already and, so I know what is easy to get and what is not easy to get. And so one of the things, for example, if you make a romantic comedy, those tend to require the involvement of a famous star.
Right.
You know, you don't even call the movie by its name. You say, oh, let's see the new Reese Witherspoon movie, or let's see the new Jennifer Aniston. And that's, I love those kind of movies, but you need big stars to get them off the ground.
Definitely.
And audiences seem to be much more open to thrillers and horror films, you know, that maybe don't have household names in them and or don't have, you know, the trappings of a high budget.
Right.
For example, I saw Wicked last night. Wicked's terrific. Our movie probably cost what they spent on coffee on
right.
the making of Wicked.
And Folgers, like not even like, yeah. That's a great point. I think people are more inclined to take a chance at something lower budget if it is in the horror or thriller genre as opposed to a romantic comedy, because it's the romantic comedy you kind of want to watch those two actors fall in love. It's not about necessarily the story 100% or the plot. Michael, I don't know if your IMDb page is up to date, but this looks like it's only your second or third movie. Was that intimidating, or how did that go for you working on a feature film?
Yeah, that was, it was actually my first film.
Oh, wow. Nice.
So yeah, I was nerve wracked and all the, thank you.
Yeah.
So all the things, just, you know, I literally just started acting and modeling a month and a half prior to getting the role.
Oh, nice.
So not knowing what to expect, you know, being on a film set, independent film, you know, directors and other actors and all those things were kind of like, okay, this is new. This is different. Yeah. And in the role of the role that I had, you know, how, you know, what can I do with it? You know, how far can I take it compared to, you know, staying within script or what have you. So yeah, it was a learning process, but it was really cool.
That's pretty cool. We have another special guest that we're going to bring into the conversation shortly, right after the news here. So it's great to have you guys here. I've got a lot more questions for you, but we'll do that after our award-winning news team here at Civic Media keeps us informed. We're talking independent film. The film is Without a Name, and it's an award winner, folks. And we'll have more on that film when we come back. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Cause then you know.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
CBS News Brief. Displaced residents of South Lebanon have begun returning to their homes and celebrating hours after a ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah took effect. The BBC's Lena Sinjab is in Beirut.
It's been 2 months of intensive violence here, with the last day yesterday, people describing it as hell on earth in Beirut especially.
This day before Thanksgiving is a busy one for travel. Meteorologist Craig Allen says the weather won't help in the eastern half of the country.
Travel is definitely going to be troublesome. During the entire day on Thursday, in the form of rain and snow, and gusty winds will be picking up and temperatures will be plummeting.
President-elect Trump's border czar Tom Homan visited the Texas-Mexico border and promised a mass deportation.
The nation wants a safe country. We've had enough crime in this country, illegal alien crime. It's time to end it and stop it.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Bucks win in Miami. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a 106-103 victory over the Heat. Just before the game, Giannis had to drop out with a swollen knee. Guard Damian Lillard.
They said he wasn't going to be in the lineup. I needed to come out and be in attack mode and just try to make things happen and just have that energy.
Lillard led with 37 points, 12 assists. The Bucks now 9-9. NFL, it's the Packers and the Dolphins tomorrow night. The forecast for Green Bay, cloudy, windy. What's it like playing quarterback? In the cold, Jordan Love.
In the cold? I don't mind. I mean, it is what it is. You know, being here in Green Bay, it's going to be cold, and you got to go out there and play whatever the conditions might be. So playing here, we practice in the weather every day, in the cold, especially a team coming from Miami. You know, I'll take that any day.
It was sunny and 81 in Miami. So how do you get a team ready for 25 degrees at Lambeau?
I was just going to carry ice cubes in my pockets and throw them at players all week.
That's the Dolphins head coach, Mike McDaniel. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It's been a long road for the live-action version of Snow White, but there is now a release date in sight. The Disney flick has been in development since 2016 and was supposed to be released in 2024. Greta Gerwig wrote the script for the film, which stars Rachel Zegler and Gal Gadot. Snow White will hit theaters March 21st of 2025. Hollywood is full of crazy stories, and actor Josh Brolin has a doozy he shared in his new memoir, From Under the Truck. Brolin tells the story of when he met acting legend Marlon Brando. Brolin attended a dinner at his stepmother Barbara Streisand's house, along with John Travolta and Kelly Preston. Brolin recalled that Brando showed up with a bleeding leg because he stopped to pull someone from a mudslide on the way to the party. Travolta, a well-known Scientologist, noticed and told Brando he had just gotten to the next level as a Scientologist and said he could heal him. Brolin recalled watching Danny Zuko heal the Godfather, one of the most surreal of his life. It was surreal just reading that. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly to mostly cloudy today. We'll get to 31 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the north at 5. Tonight down to 20. Thanksgiving Day, mostly cloudy. Some flurries with a high of 28 on Friday and Saturday. Partly to mostly cloudy with highs in the upper teens to low 20s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 17.
The Todd Alba Show.
Zomers, are you a Netflix and chill guy?
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
I thought it just meant watch something on Netflix together.
You say that's what you're going to do, but you're really having them over there for sex.
This is why nobody wants to come to my place anymore. I say, hey, you want to come over and have Netflix and chill? People keep saying, well, no, I don't think so. I'll take it back. And I just thought they were being rude.
I do have Netflix, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, Jimmy Costa, guest host The Maggie Dawn Show. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I thought I was going deaf, and I was turning the wrong knob here.
Oh my gosh!
Just to turn it down.
How old are you?
I'm in my really late 20s. That's Todd Michaels. He's riding shotgun tonight in place of the K-Man. The lovable producer Conrad will be back next Tuesday. So Todd and I will be back here live on Monday, and then we do a show together on Friday. In a manner of speaking. So right now, we are talking about the film Without a Name, which won. What did you guys win, Emmett? It was like the Spirit Award and then an Audience Award or something in Milwaukee last week.
We won Best Horror Film.
Yes,
or Best Horror Feature, I should say.
And Milwaukee and Independent Spirit. I had it written down. I couldn't find it. Yeah, that's really cool. Congratulations on that. You're welcome. What was your experience there like? Was it fun?
The festival was great.
Yeah.
I saw almost all the films that they screened there. It was partly because why go to a festival if you're not going to see what everybody else is doing? It frustrates me when I'll be in a screening and people will watch one movie, you know, and then while you're waiting for the next one to start, a whole bunch of people will get up and just walk out of the theater.
Right.
You know, because they only came to see their friend or they only came to see the movie that they made. And I just, it's just so much more fun to be able to talk to people and say, I saw your movie. I really enjoyed it. How did you do this? You know,
that's the best part of festivals. So. My guests are director, Emmett Laverty. Am I saying it right, Emmett? I'm saying it right,
yeah,
right? Okay,
absolutely.
Your phonetics were spot on, by the way. Thank you for that. And actor Michael Newby. And now I'd like to welcome to the interview the director of photography for Without a Name, Griffith Mahaffey. Am I saying that right, Griffith?
Oh, yeah, that's close enough. That's good.
Close enough. All right. Welcome. It's great to have you here as well. How was... I have a question for you as a DP, because when I made a film years ago, I didn't realize how much I took lighting for granted until I saw how hard people on a movie set worked just to get it so that you wouldn't notice lighting in a film. So if you're really good at it, it just adds so much, but people don't really notice. How long did it take you to get good at lighting? And do you have to light a horror film or thriller differently than you would, say, a rom-com?
Well, I kind of had an unfair advantage over a lot of DPs in that I apprenticed under a medium format photographer who his teachers were lighting directors from the 40s and 50s. Mm. And so he taught me a lot about lighting, how to compose a shot. Just a really amazing guy. We're actually still close friends. He just turned 80 this year. And he still looks like he's 40. So I can only hope that I can be like when I'm 80. Actually, I'll tell you what really made the film look pretty straightforward. So I recommended to Emmett and the two producers who couldn't be here, Eric and Hayata, who are both amazing people. They got me two of the three lenses that I really wanted, and they were very fast Sony primes that went down about f.8. So the aperture I could open really wide, and it really allowed us to light, I shouldn't say minimally, but we didn't bring in a schlock ton of gear. We kind of brought in the lights that we needed, and then we just kind of made it work. Because on an indie production, you kind of can't get too picky about it because, you know, time's always escaping you.
For sure.
So I would say the key to doing this film, the way we were able to do it, was having those fast lenses that really allowed me to get the shot quick. And like that, I would attribute that to Eric and Hayato, who really pulled some strings to give, because they, when they saw the price tags, they didn't want but it was worth it, you know.
Well, you have to do that with an indie film. You have to use every single resource you can, and it sounds like you guys did that. So Emmett, let me ask you something. What's more difficult, shooting a feature film on an indie budget or actually raising the indie budget?
I have
a lot of money.
I've been lucky to have some angel investors on some of my projects, some people who believe in what we've done and said, okay, do it again.
Nice.
My first feature, it's called She's Out of His Mind, and it is a romantic comedy, and it does not have Reese Witherspoon or Jennifer Aniston, but it's very charming. And it's we raised the money from people I knew and people that I met through friends, and it was a different time, it was a different world, and we were not nearly as frugal as we were on Without a Name. Because it just, at that time, it seemed to be easier to get your movie out into the, to get your movie out into the world and start bringing in an income.
Sure.
Nowadays, it's challenging, and the smartest advice I've ever gotten about it is just try not to spend too much. I mean, you have to spend some because you have to feed people, you have to house people, you know what I mean, but no silk underwear and for the extras and
what
and that kind of thing.
I know, can't do anything crazy anymore. Jeez,
so it's so comfortable.
Yeah So Emmett, you're from Chicago, you said you went to school at Berkeley. How do you end up seeming like you're just one of the dudes here in Northeast Wisconsin, this little independent film community that speaks highly of you? And how did you get in with these guys?
Well, let me just make a slight correction.
Yeah.
I grew up in Berkeley.
Oh, okay.
And then I went to school in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And the way I found this Wisconsin community was I worked on a film in 2021, which I will not name and I do not recommend.
Okay.
For a number of very solid reasons, but I met great people on it.
I am so IMDBing this film after the interview, by the way.
I'm listed as the COVID officer on that movie, so whatever. It was an unpleasant experience with an inexperienced director.
That's horrible. Was that really your title?
Yeah.
COVID officer.
Yeah.
Wow. You must have gotten a lot of chicks with that.
Yeah. It was something let's put it this way. I started off believing in that film, and by the time I left the set, I wished my friends that I had made, I wished them all well, and I truly wanted to work with them again. And I have worked with several of them again and made other movies with them. And there's a group of people who all were in the cast or the crew of that film who we get together regularly because we're friends, but also sure. because it's almost like having been through a war to, it's like a support group for
right.
people who, anyway. But I met Eric. Oh my God, Eric, what is your name? Oh, Eric Lukert. I met our producer, Eric Lukert, on that movie, and we really hit it off, and he was the, I know a guy.
Yeah, right.
I know a guy who gets you.
You need that guy. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And Eric and then Hayato Mitsuichi, who I worked with on another film, they came together and made this whole situation happen. And I'm so proud of what we did.
That's fantastic.
And we met Michael.
Yeah,
how we met Michael.
My guests are Emmett Laverty, Michael Newby, and Griffith Mahaffey. They have all worked on the show Without a Name. Michael, do you have have you been able to parlay this into any other roles? Did you add it to your reel yet? Are you getting yourself out there as an actor?
I mean, I keep trying. Yeah. Right? It's everything's building to something.
Sure.
Right. So, you know, that being the first thing that I had done, I've done two other feature films since then, a couple short films. I had an ESPN short film last year for Thanksgiving. So, yeah. So I just keep trying to build, add to the resume and get noticed and get my face out there everywhere I possibly can.
That's great. Where did you guys shoot this?
Kewaskum.
Kewaskum, yeah, Wisconsin.
Kewaskum and West Bend.
And West Bend. Oh, yeah, West Bend. Sorry.
Yes.
All right. Now, I have to ask.
Our normal producer, Conrad, is from Kewaskum. That's interesting.
Our typical producer, Conrad, that's where he grew up, and we make jokes about Kewaskum, lovingly, from time to time. It sounds like a great little town. Now I have to ask, all right, you're from California. How do you end up? So did these guys in Wisconsin help you find that location? How'd you end up in Kewaskum?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Eric knew some. Eric seems to know everybody in your state.
That's a good producer. And, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he found the Bonnie Bell Motel.
Oh, I love that.
Some key scenes.
That's great.
I think that's in Kewaskum, but I'm not sure. It's very close to the area. And then we did a bunch of stuff at the Sixth Avenue Pit and Barbecue, I think it's called, in mm-hmm. West Bend.
Okay.
And there's some creepy buildings there that we shot in the upper levels of them.
Made my job very easy.
Yeah. Now, is that where you guys had your screening? Because I know they had a venue in West Bend for the Milwaukee Independent Film Awards. Was that where your screening was?
I was really pushing for that because I, you know, it's like, can't we do the screening in the town where we shot the movie? No, we ended up doing the screening of our film because the Milwaukee Independent Film Awards was, you know, they're just starting out and they're getting their sea legs. And so they actually had to have their screenings in three different locations.
Right.
So our screening took place in Hartford.
Okay.
I believe it's called the Hartford Schubert's Theater or Schubert's Hartford Theater. Anyway, it's a commercial movie theater. Very nice.
Nice.
And,
we had Ezekiel on the show and he was talking about the venues. It sounded like, even though it was a bit of a drive, they sounded like great venues. And, that reminds me when I used to do stand-up comedy and the booker would say, all right, your first night is in Minneapolis. Then you have to be in Devil's Lake, North Dakota the next night. So you're going to want to get a move on. You guys, this was really fun. Thank you for being on the show and, continued success. Do you have another festival lineup or any? Where can people see the film, Emmett? Can you direct us to a streaming platform or something? We got about 60 seconds left.
Well, you can watch the trailer right there. It's at withoutanamemovie.com.
Okay.
The next festival is going to be in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Griffith is going to come with me.
Nice.
And it's going to be streaming on December 7th.
You hope. Yeah.
In the evening. And then we have some more lined up and we should be streaming for, you know, nationwide in early 2025.
That's fantastic. So, well, congratulations with the film. It's so great to get a film when you're done and now you get to watch it with audiences. That's so much fun. So I wish you guys continued success and keep me posted on what you're doing from time to time.
Thank you. We will.
All right. Have a great night, guys. That's Emmett Laverde, Michael Newby, and Griffith Mahaffey, part of the team behind Without a Name. Check them out. You can see the trailer online. Check it out. It looks really good. And it gave Todd the creeps earlier when he was watching.
It really did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Todd's a paranormal investigator on the side. So
if I get creeped out.
Yeah, you were.
Listen, humans are always creepier than ghosts. Always.
Very true. All right. We're going to call 1-800-BUTTERBALL, I think, right? And see what we can get. This is a turkey hotline for people with serious issues. And we'll see what we get. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
93.5 The Tap.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today I've got some wonky terminology, so bear with me. I'm talking about credit utilization and how that affects your credit score. Credit utilization just means how much of your credit you're using. So let's say you have a $10,000 limit on your credit card. Now, lots of us think it's okay to spend up to that $10,000 every month as long as you pay it off in full at the end of the month. Well, it turns out the credit bureaus, these agencies that assign us our credit scores, they only want us to use maybe 10, 20, or maximum 30% of our credit limit each month, like $1,000 to $3,000 tops if you've got $10,000 in credit. And your credit utilization counts for 30% of your total credit score. I don't love the rules, but knowing them helps us manage our credit scores the way we want to. For more about credit scores or just about getting good at money, check out my videos at Work Money Media on YouTube.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have, you plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it. All right.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Andrew from Maine says, I was wondering if Todd Allball, he's talking about in reference to the promo, says, yeah, had tried to set up a Civic Media Thanksgiving dinner at his house, and everyone turned him down before Mr. Zomrich educated him. Well, I did not get the invitation, if that's the case, Andrew, but...
And I think we're all okay with that, aren't we?
Yeah, well, especially after those promos, for sure. Tomorrow night on the show, we have an all-star lineup, folks, kind of a best of. We put together John Legend, Adam Brody, Jenny Slate, John Grise, also known as Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite, Eric Jellin from Mascot Theory, and from Ask Your Mother, Eric Ratzak and Adam Krause. So a really fun show tomorrow night, and Conrad and I will kick that off and open up the show, and then we will go to the best of. And then next week, this is kind of fun. We started this show, Nightlight, last December 4th, and my first guest was a good friend of mine, a Chicago comedian named Bill Leff, who is the host of the nationally syndicated show on MeTV called Tune In With Me. It's on every morning. Bill's a really funny guy and accused Conrad of trying to kill him. So Bill will be back to commemorate the one-year anniversary of Nightlight next Wednesday, and I'm sure he and Conrad will get into it. Conrad's more of a good sport. He doesn't really get into it with Bill because I don't think he knows what to make of Bill because it's a national TV host word against Conrad. So I don't think Conrad wants to mix it up too much. But that'll be a fun show. That's next Wednesday night. What do you think? Should we try to...
We can if you want to.
Let's try 1-800-Butterball and see what we get. This is we're calling it Turkey Hotline, folks, because Butterball has... turkey surgeons standing by to help us with our turkey problems.
Welcome to Butterball.
We're through.
To be connected to our Butterball Turkey Talk line, for information on turkey preparation and cooking assistance, press or say 3. If you have
3.
Your call may be monitored or recorded to ensure quality customer service. Thank you for calling the Butterball Turkey Talk line. All turkey experts are assisting other callers.
Of course.
Your estimated wait time is about 5 minutes.
Oh,
for self-service options,
just as the show's about to wrap up,
press 1.
What the
or
H?
Visit butterball.com for information on turkey preparation, recipes, and more. If you would like to leave a callback number and keep your place in line, press 2. Or remain on the line for the next available expert.
What do you think we should do?
I think we'd dump.
I was going to tell him the turkey is still moving. What do I do? and it was, you know, wearing socks.
Right. And so, I had the sound effects all ready to go. Listen to that beautiful turkey music.
That would have been fantastic. I mean, first of all, let me just say, and I'm not just trying to suck up to a potential sponsor here, but Butterball is on it. I mean, it is the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. There are probably people already preparing turkeys, and it's like, what, 8
Try
o'clock?
A new Cook from Frozen premium whole turkey for a hassle-free Thanksgiving. No thaw, no mess, no stress. Find yours via the product locator on butterball.com.
Okay, just one suggestion, though.
Yeah.
Get a voice person to do that for you, you know? Call me up, Butterball. I'll take care of that for you. That was just a little sloppy.
Not a guy who sounds like he's having sinus issues. You don't know if that guy's sneezing on the... But do you think it's like... Remember the commercials for Extends? The
Extends.
Men's enhancement product?
Actually, I'll be honest with you.
Does
I
it work?
I have never... I've never heard of that before, Extends.
Oh, it was before internet stuff was happening. This was on late night TV, and it was so great, Todd. They showed these guys. We used to just, my roommates, we would just laugh. They would have a guy walking by, and there'd be these guys in lab coats with beakers, like they're figuring out all this penis stuff. And it's like, wow, they have scientists working around the clock. Anyway, that kind of is what I was thinking with the Butterball stuff. Like, oh, these guys in lab coats like, telling people how to get over this turkey issue they're having because they got a house full of people.
I'm surprised they still have this 800 line, because now you can watch a YouTube video for just about everything, right? I mean, I had a woman the other day I was talking to, and she says, I've never made mashed potatoes. So I went online. I found, you know, a YouTube video on mashed potatoes. Boom, there it was. I said, here you go, right?
Right.
There's got to be... And I do think that Butterball has a new product out that can go from freezer to the oven. You don't have to do the whole thawing thing and all that kind of stuff. So
seriously?
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting. And you're right. They might not even have anybody there. That number could be like, or it's like all online now, and there's like one guy. He's like, someone's calling. Someone who doesn't have a computer is calling us. It's like the Night Agent TV show where the phone in the basement of the White House never rings.
Like 10 years ago, there were operators standing yes. by, but now it's just one guy in a basement someplace, you know.
Somewhere there has to be a recording of all the people who had issues cooking turkeys, bet it's hilarious.
They probably play them at the Christmas party, right? The Butterball Christmas party.
The Butterball employee.
Hey, this is Martha calling.
Oh, that's so great.
I dropped it on the floor, right? And the dog ate part of it. Is there a way for me to save this thing?
Is it salvageable? Just tell me yes or no. Oh, that's so great. Well, we tried, Todd. I mean, it was, you know, we almost made radio history.
Yeah. Well, I think we kind of did anyway.
In our failure.
That's right.
Hey, this has been really fun, buddy. Thank you for stepping in for the K-Man. Always fun to work with you.
And, love it.
I look forward to next Monday as well. I'd also like to thank Matt Miller. Al Petrelli from the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Emmett Laverde, Griffith Mahaffey, and Michael Newby. Thank you for all your texts. So much fun, as always. Did you give me a song?
I didn't choose
the
a song.
Okay.
But I think it would probably, just because I am an Elvis fan and I think it would sound good on a jukebox, it would probably be Jailhouse Rock. I just think that's what I would go with.
That's a great one. I might go Suspicious Minds.
That is my favorite Elvis song of all time.
My friend Keith, God rest his soul, played that. That was his wedding. His first dance with his wife was Suspicious Minds.
That's great. I mean, think about the words of that song.
It didn't really.
Kind of cheating, right?
It didn't end well.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm not blaming Elvis.
That might be why.
Exactly.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all for your texts and calls. Always so much fun. Always so much more fun when you guys participate in the show. We will be back live Monday night. In the meantime, happy Thanksgiving and good night, Wisconsin.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I have an all-star lineup of John Legend, Jenny Slate, Adam Brody, and the one and only John Grise, also known as Uncle Rico. And I'm joined by musical guest Eric Ratzak from Ask Your Mother and Eric Jellin from Mascot Theory.
Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out. the scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.